This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to icebreak without asking what do you do for work? Better opening questions that create real connection, fast. In short, the what do you do for work question is not really a conversation starter. It is a sorting mechanism. A genuine icebreaker creates warmth and curiosity without reducing people to their job titles. Ground your opener in the shared moment you're both already in. Ask about experience, preference, or perspective, not professional identity. Go first. Model the answer you want to receive. Definition: an icebreaker without work questions is a conversation opener that invites genuine personal connection without anchoring to job titles or careers. Ease is shared context, light curiosity, or playful observation to create ease between people who do not yet know each other well. I watched a talented project manager freeze up at a company away day 3 years ago. She had been asked to open their afternoon session with a quick icebreaker, and she defaulted to the only one she knew. Go around the room, everyone say your name, your role, and one fun fact. Within 4 minutes, half the room had glazed eyes and the other half were checking their phones. The icebreaker had made things colder, not warmer. The problem was not her. It was the question. Specifically, it was anchoring everything to professional identity when people were desperate for something more human. Learning how to icebreak without relying on what do you do for work is one of the most underrated communication skills you can build, and it is more learnable than you think. Why the work question fails as an icebreaker? The question feels safe because it is familiar. You both know you're in a professional setting, so talking about work seems natural. But here is the truth of it: the moment someone answers with their job title, the conversation branches in only a few directions, and most of them are dead ends. People hear "what do you do?" and they either feel proud, embarrassed, or bored describing themselves. Anyone between jobs, newly retired, caring for a family member, or doing work that is hard to explain in 10 seconds is already uncomfortable. The question sorts people into categories before you have learned anything interesting about them as human beings. That is not connection, that is filing. Good icebreakers do the opposite. They create a low-stakes opening where anyone can answer without feeling judged or summarized. The role of communication in meeting success often hinges on how the first few minutes feel, and those minutes are shaped almost entirely by the quality of the opening question. What do you need before you ask anything? Before you land on a question, you need to do one thing: read the room honestly. Ask yourself three things. First, what is the shared context? You're all at the same event, in the same meeting, on the same call. That shared experience is your richest source of material. Second, what is the energy level? A group of strangers at a morning conference needs a gentler entry than a team who have worked together for 6 months. Third, how much time do you have? A 30-second icebreaker and a 3-minute icebreaker require completely different questions. This assessment takes about 90 seconds, and it prevents you from asking something that lands wrong. Preparation is not about scripting every word. It is about knowing what you're walking into before you open your mouth. How to icebreak without the work question: a clear process. Number 1. Anchor to the shared moment. Start with what you're both already experiencing. If you are at a conference, ask what drew them to this particular session. If you are in a team meeting on a Monday morning, ask what they are most looking forward to this week. The shared context gives the question a natural foundation, so it does not feel random or forced. A grounded question is always less awkward than a floating one. Number 2. Choose curiosity over categorization. The goal of an icebreaker is not to gather data. It is to spark interest. Questions that invite someone to share a preference, a perspective, or a small story do this far better than questions that invite a label. Try: what has surprised you most recently? Or if you could instantly be skilled at one thing you're currently terrible at, what would it be? These questions have no wrong answers, which means people answer them honestly. Number 3. Make the question specific enough to answer, but open enough to breathe. This is the hardest balance to strike. Too vague: tell me something interesting about yourself, and people freeze. Too narrow: what is your 5-year plan? And you have created a job interview, not a conversation. The sweet spot is a question with a clear shape and genuine range. For example, what is one thing you've been thinking about a lot lately, outside of work? Give structure without limiting the response. Number 4. Go first, and go honestly. If you're running the icebreaker, model the answer before you ask others to share. Not a polished answer, an honest one. If the question is what has made you laugh this week, tell them what actually made you laugh, even if it is embarrassingly small. When you go first with genuine warmth, you lower the stakes for everyone else. People match the tone of the first answer. Give them a good tone to match. Number 5. Listen for the thread. The answer someone gives to a good icebreaker question almost always contains a thread worth pulling. If someone says their answer to what are you looking forward to this month is a trip to see their sister in Edinburgh, there is a conversation in there. Ask about it. Is that a regular trip or something special? This is how a 30-second icebreaker becomes a 2-minute connection. You are not moving on to your next question. You are paying attention. Number 6. Keep the energy moving. In a group setting, do not let any single answer run too long. A good icebreaker maintains pace. After someone shares, offer a brief, warm response. I love that. I had no idea you were into that, and move to the next person. If you are in a one-on-one conversation, let the exchange breathe naturally. But in a group of 8 or more, your job is conductor as much as participant. Effective icebreakers for team meetings depend on this rhythm. Enough time for warmth, not so much that energy drains. Number 7. Close the icebreaker cleanly. Signal the transition from the warm-up to the main conversation or meeting. Something like, right, I love that. Good to know all of that about each other. Let us get into the reason we are here. A clean close respects people's time and signals that you are in control of the room. Icebreakers that trail off into awkward silence and do the warmth you just built. End it with intention. Adapting this process for virtual meetings. Remote icebreakers fail more often than in-person ones, and the reason is almost always the same. The question lands cold because people had no time to think. In a virtual meeting, the silence between being asked a question and actually answering it is amplified. People freeze on camera in a way they would not in a room together. The fix is simple. Send the icebreaker question in the meeting invitation or the chat before the call starts. Give people 5 minutes to think about it. When the meeting opens, you will get answers that are warmer, more interesting, and delivered with more confidence. One question that works well in virtual settings. Share one thing that made you smile this week, work-related or not. It is low stakes, specific enough to answer quickly, and it reminds people that there is a whole life happening outside the screen. For more on creating the conditions where this kind of warmth can take root, how to host engaging virtual meetings is worth reading before your next remote session. And if your team is distributed across time zones and rarely meets live, how to create communication routines for remote teams will help you build the kind of ongoing connection that makes icebreakers feel natural rather than forced. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emundblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong. 3 mistakes come up again and again. I have made all 3 of them myself. The mistake: choosing a question that requires too much vulnerability too soon. Why it happens: people confuse depth with connection. A question like "What is your greatest fear?" sounds meaningful, but it asks for emotional exposure before trust exists. What to do instead? Save deeper questions for groups that already have some history. With strangers or near strangers, keep questions light, but genuine. Depth follows warmth. It does not precede it. The mistake: asking a question and then not listening to the answer. Why it happens? The icebreaker feels like a box to tick, so the facilitator is already thinking about what comes next. What to do instead? After each person answers, make one brief, genuine observation before moving on. It takes 5 seconds, and it tells people their answer actually landed with someone. The mistake: choosing a question that has a socially desirable right answer. Why it happens? Questions like "What inspires you?" sound good, but produce performative answers. Nobody wants to be the person who says honestly, "Nothing much lately." What to do instead? Choose questions where every honest answer is equally valid. What is one thing you were wrong about this year? Invites real thought, because being wrong is universal, and admitting it takes small courage. How humor can ease workplace tension also addresses this. The best groupopreneurs are ones where being imperfect is safe. Your pre-meeting icebreaker checklist. Run through these before your next meeting or conversation. They take 2 minutes. Does the question anchor to something we are already sharing? A place, an event, a season? Can anyone in the group answer this without feeling exposed or embarrassed? Does the question invite a story or a perspective, rather than a label or a title? Is the question specific enough that nobody will stare blankly, wondering where to begin? Have I prepared my own honest answer so I can model it first? If this is a virtual meeting, have I sent the question in advance so people can think? Have I planned a clean, confident line to close the icebreaker and move into the meeting? For structured meetings, where this checklist needs to sit alongside a broader agenda, how to run productive meetings that don't waste time, and best practices for virtual meeting communication will give you the wider framework that good icebreakers sit inside. The craft you are actually building. Every question you ask someone is a signal. It tells them what you think they are here for, what you think matters, and whether you're genuinely curious about them or just going through the motions. The "what do you do for work" question, used as a default, signals that you are sorting, not connecting. The skills in this guide are not complicated, but they require preparation and the courage to go first. That courage is the thing most people skip. They wait for someone else to set the tone, and then they wonder why the room feels cold. The role of communication in meeting success is earned in the first 3 minutes, before anyone has said anything substantial. Your icebreaker without work questions is where that trust begins to take root. Practice it, refine it, and it will serve you for the rest of your working life. Frequently asked questions. What is an icebreaker without work questions? An icebreaker without work questions is a conversation opener that invites people to share something personal, curious, or light without anchoring the exchange to their job title or career. It creates connection based on character rather than professional identity, and it tends to produce warmer, more memorable first impressions. Why does asking what someone does for work make a poor icebreaker? It forces people to reduce themselves to a job title, which shuts down authentic conversation. It can also feel uncomfortable for anyone between roles, newly retired, or doing work they find hard to explain quickly. The question signals you are categorizing them rather than genuinely curious about who they are. How do you icebreak in a professional setting without it feeling awkward? Anchor your question to the shared context: the room, the event, the season, or something you both just experienced. A grounded, low-stakes question tied to the present moment feels natural rather than forced. Practice the question aloud before the event so it comes out smoothly and confidently. What are good icebreaker questions to replace the work question? Try questions like: what has surprised you most this week? What are you looking forward to in the next month? Or if you could swap skills with anyone in the room for a day, who would it be and why? These invite a real answer without putting anyone on the spot about their career. How do you icebreak in a virtual meeting without it feeling staged? Give people a question in writing before the call so they can think without pressure. Keep the question specific and warm. Something like: share one thing that made you smile this week. When a call begins, model the answer yourself first so others know the tone you're setting. How long should a good icebreaker take in a meeting? 3 to 5 minutes for a group of up to 8 people. Each person needs only 30 to 60 seconds. If your icebreaker is running longer, the question is too complex or too personal, a good icebreaker clears the path for real work. It does not become the main event. Can the same icebreaker without work approach work for both introverts and extroverts? Yes, when the question is low stakes and concrete rather than open-ended and abstract. Introverts do better with a question they can answer briefly and clearly. Extroverts will expand naturally. The key is choosing a question with a clear enough shape that no one feels stranded staring into a void. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.